Hi, welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit for today. And, of course, as always, we're going to talk about a book. We're going to talk about the plot on the first day, the author on the second day, and back to the book on the third day to talk about some ideas and stuff like that, why you might enjoy reading this book as well. I remember today's featured book from high school, Johnny Got His Gun. Except in high school, we had different literature classes for different people, so it kind of depended on the teacher. I noticed a lot of my classmates reading that book, but we didn't have to read this book. We read other stuff, so I didn't have the chance to read this book when I was in high school. What about you, Stephanie? Have you read today's featured book?
No, I've never heard of it. I have heard of the author, Trumbo, because there's a movie right now that's out called Trumbo. It's okay. About that writer's life and how he was accused of being a communist, which was a big deal back in the 50s and the 60s even.
It's kind of because of his book, people kind of blamed him as being unpatriotic by showing this stuff to the public.
Anti-war.
So if you kind of do that stuff, you're kind of a bad apple, and they think you're a communist. At least they did quite some time ago.
Actually, there were writers in Hollywood that were communists. But since we were fighting the Soviet Union back then, the Cold War, they were trying to make sure that we didn't have any communists. So it was kind of a weird time.
But anyway, the title of today's featured book is Johnny Got His Gun. As you said, it's by this fella by the name of
James Dalton Trumbo.
Okay, so let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson, and we'll be right back to talk about it. As Joe Bonham lies in his hospital bed, he begins to reflect back upon his life. While fighting in World War I, he was severely injured by an artillery blast. As Joe drifts in and out of consciousness, he recalls his mother's home-cooked meals, the first time he saw an airplane, and the time his best friend stole his girlfriend. He also begins to regret his decision to fight in a war that had nothing to do with him. Gradually, Joe realizes that his arms and legs have been amputated and that he has lost his ability to see, smell, hear, and speak, as the blast has destroyed his face. Now there is only a mask covering his skull where his face used to be. Suffering such grave injuries, Joe wonders why the doctors bothered to save his life at all. With no other options, Joe is forced to live inside his mind. As his nightmares continually torment him, Joe decides to commit suicide. Yet in his helpless condition, he is unable to complete the deed. Over time, Joe finds a new purpose in life. He wants to be placed inside a glass box and shown around the country. In this manner, he can be a living symbol of the horrors of war. One day, he gets an idea of how he can communicate with the outside world. Joe begins banging his head on his pillow in Morse code. Eventually, a nurse understands what he's doing and finds a man who comprehends Morse code. When he conveys his dream of being used as an example of the realities of war, he is told this would go against regulations. Joe realizes that the army would never agree to his demands, as men would no longer want to fight if they were to see the true cost of war.
So let's get started. Day one, this is a summary or a plot summary of our novel. Our character, our protagonist, you could say, his name is Joe Bonham. He lies in his hospital bed and he begins to reflect back upon his life. A lot of times when you're very ill, perhaps even nearing death, you start thinking back on your life and what you did and the things you decided that were right, if you'd change things. So he's kind of reflecting or thinking deeply about his life while he's in his hospital bed. While fighting in World War I, he was severely injured by an artillery blast. And artillery back then kind of meant anything that had a large caliber type of bullet. For example, it might have been a cannon. You know, they'd shoot those cannonballs out of the cannons long ago,
mm-hmm.
and they would land and blow up in front of people, and it could cause a lot of damage. In today's world, artillery means things like shell-firing guns, howitzers, mortars, rackets, and even guided rockets and even guided missiles. And
yeah, I was wondering what a racket is. Maybe you can use that to play tennis.
A tennis racket. You've even seen some of these large caliber guns. They've been put on people's shoulders and then they can shoot those mortars up, or there's missiles that can shoot up into the sky and sometimes reach airplanes and bring
them
down.
Watch out for that. So yes, any large shell fired by a weapon is artillery. And so this was an artillery blast or explosion, we could say. A shell blew up.
Yeah.
And as Joe drifts in and out of consciousness, he recalls various things. He remembers his mother's home-cooked meals. Boy, we'd all remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Or he also remembers the first time he saw an airplane, which, of course, back in World War I, airplanes were very rare at that time. So
yeah.
He probably remembers, oh, wow, what is that flying
cool.
in the sky? That's cool. He also remembered something probably painful here, the first time, or at least the time, his best friend stole his girlfriend. Yeah, your best friend is not supposed to do that. But
no.
On the other hand, if you are more compatible with that girl than the other guy is, then I guess you're justified. But in any case here, he's drifting in and out of consciousness. Consciousness is the state of being aware and awake, and you know what's around you. You know people are around you. You kind of know what time it is. You know what you're doing and stuff like that. That's consciousness, or you are conscious. That's the adjective here, but consciousness is the noun form. He's drifting in and out. Sometimes he's conscious, sometimes he isn't.
Yeah, he also begins to regret his decision to fight in a war that had nothing to do with him. Now, this is the war we're talking about, World War I, back in, what was it,
1914 to 1919.
I was going to say 1919, yeah. So about 5 years. It was pretty awful, and a lot of men were killed during that war. If you regret something, guys, it means you look back at a decision that you made, and you might feel sad about it. Maybe you didn't take advantage of an opportunity that you had to meet someone or take a job that maybe you would have liked more than you thought you would. Maybe you feel bad because you did something to hurt somebody else and you regret having done that. Or maybe you're just disappointed because of one of those missed opportunities. I regret not being able to always go home for all the holidays because I miss seeing all the kids. So he begins to regret his decision to fight in a war that he thought had nothing to do with him, because now we're going to hear why he's in terrible shape.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with him, okay? Sometimes in arguments you can use this, what does that got to do with me? Guanwo sama shi, okay? What does that have to do with me? Or that doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
So, yes, he thought, yeah, this war doesn't really have anything to do with me. I don't have any need to be in that war.
No, some governments started fighting each other. Countries started fighting each other, and all of a sudden,
yeah, that's their
his
business,
life has
not
changed
mine.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To change my life here. Besides, in that particular case, it was taking place over in Europe there.
Uh-huh.
Why would somebody from the United States or Canada, for example, be really concerned about what's going on in Europe? That's not really their business. But in any case here, in the next paragraph, it says, gradually, Joe realizes that his arms and legs have been amputated and that he has lost his ability to see, smell, hear, and speak. As or because the blast has destroyed his face. That's pretty bad here. So he's realized that, oh my goodness,
yeah.
I don't have my legs and I don't have my arms. They have been cut off. That's what to amputate means. That means your arm or your leg or whatever has been cut off surgically for some particular reason. If you have diabetes, for example, you run the risk of having your feet or your legs or your limbs amputated because of reduced blood circulation and stuff like that.
Yeah, my dad's always talking about that. He has diabetes too, just like Tom does, and he's always saying, they're not going to cut off my arm and leg, and so be careful with that. Well, unfortunately, that blast really destroyed his arms and legs and his face.
Oh, no.
You know, when I read this second line that he'd lost his ability to see, smell, hear, and speak, I thought, wow, why did the doctor save him? This is kind of tough. You know, what kind of life is that? Well, now there's only a mask covering his skull. Your skull is a bony part of your head. It's covering his skull where his face used to be. So this is a really sad situation. Now, it says here he's suffering such grave injuries. Joe wonders why the doctors bothered to save his life at all. And that was my question when I read that sentence. If you have a grave injury, or the doctors say your condition is grave, that's an adjective meaning it's very, very serious. And typically, if someone's in grave condition, they don't usually turn around and recover. They usually pass away because things are very serious, and, you know, it's kind of hard to recover from grave injuries.
Yeah, and at the time, of course, he probably could not have a face transplant.
No.
So he's going to stay this way all the way until he's dead. So he's wondering, why did the doctor bother? Oftentimes we say this, oh, don't bother. You don't need to do that. It's too much trouble, or I'll do it myself. Don't bother, okay? Or why bother? Why did you bother with that? Why did you worry about that? Why did you do that? So, yes, why did the doctors bother to save me? They should have just let me pass away, let me die with honor or something like that. And with no other options or no other choices, Joe is forced to live inside his mind. Yeah, he doesn't have any options here. He doesn't have any choices.
No.
You don't have any arms. You don't have any legs. You can't see. You can't hear. You can't smell. You can't taste. And you can't speak. So what the heck can you do? The only thing he could do was live inside his mind. Basically, he could only daydream and hear the... he couldn't hear anything, could he? I guess he could hear things inside his mind. I guess if you're dreaming or unconscious or something, maybe your senses work then inside your brain, but in reality, they don't.
Yeah. Wow. This is a tough situation. He can't speak or hear. He can't communicate because there's no way for him to, you know, to say what he needs to. He can't use his hands, like sign language. That's not possible because his hands have been amputated. His arms are gone. So it's tough. Now, it says here, as his nightmares continually torment him, he decides to commit suicide. Your nightmares are dreams you have at night that scare you, that make you feel awful. Sometimes I have nightmares and I'll wake up and my heart's beating really fast because someone's chasing me and wants to kill me. Those are bad dreams, nightmares. Continually means it happens quite frequently. It's happening all the time. So they continually torment him. If you torment someone, it means you abuse them, cause them to suffer mentally, maybe physically. So it's just someone or the situation is really tormenting him. You can torment poor animals. Sometimes I see kids who are pulling the tails of cats, you know, and making them go, rawr! They're tormenting the cat. So sometimes you have to teach little ones, little toddlers, you can't pull his tail because they don't know. Well, after having this horrible experience with these nightmares that torment him, he decides he's going to kill himself. And that's how we say it. He wants to commit suicide.
Yeah, that's how I felt many years ago when I was together with a certain girl. If I continued with her any longer, I was going to commit suicide.
Why?
Because she kept tormenting me, edging me on, making a fool of me. So I was really in a bad situation.
You should just break up with her, Tom.
No, I'm just using that as an example. But in any case here, yes, sometimes people get desperate in their lives and they don't think there's any way out, so they consider suicide. And that, of course, is an unfortunate situation. And most often we say commit suicide. I understand it's correct to say suicide as a verb, but that still sounds rather weird to me. I would say commit suicide, or you can commit all sorts of other things, too. Not just suicide. It just means to carry something out, to undertake something. But in any case, we're not going to talk about something so depressing anymore. We need to cheer up right now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天为各位介绍的是 Unit 15文学单元 ，Johnny Got His Gun， 强尼上战场，战争的残酷本质。文章的第一段说明，书中的主角乔躺在医院病床上，回忆起他的过去以及参战的过程。 我们看到本段第二句 While fighting in World War I, he was severely injured by an artillery blast. 在第一次世界大战作战的时候，他因一次炮击爆炸而受到重伤。我们看到本句一开始 While fighting 的这个部分，这是副词子句简化成分词构句，当从属连接词 when、while、before 等等连接的副词子句和主要子句的主词相同的时候，可以省略副词子句的主词。如果句子为主动语态，则将动词变成 ving。如果句子为被动语态，可改成 being 加 vpp。being 可以省略，只留下 vpp。例如 ，When Susan was left alone in the bedroom, she burst out crying。当苏珊被独自留在卧室里时，她突然大哭。副词子句的主词 Susan 和主要子句的相同，因此删掉副词子句的主词。又副词子句为被动语态，所以动词改成 being 加 ving， being 可以省略，因此简化后变成 When left alone in the bedroom, Susan burst out crying。 接着我们看到第二段，本段说明乔因战场上受到重伤而饱受身心的煎熬。我们看到本段的第一句， Gradually, Joe realizes that his arms and legs have been amputated and that he has lost his ability to see, smell, hear, and speak as the blast has destroyed his face. 逐渐地，乔意识到他的双臂和双腿都已被截肢，而且因为爆炸把他整张脸都毁了。他失去的视觉、嗅觉、听觉和说话的能力。本句的主要动词是 realizes， 其后接两个 that 子句作为 realizes 的受词，表示乔所了解到的两件事。 that 用来连接名词子句时，其后接一完整句子，整个 that 子句可视为名词看待，可以当作句子的主词、受词、同位语或主词补语。若以两个以上的 that 子句作为受词时，只有第一个 that 子句的 that 可以省略，其他的都不可以省略。所以本例句中的 that his arms and legs 的 that 可以省略，而 that he has lost 之中的 that 则不可以省略。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
All right, let's continue talking about Joe Bonham. This is the plot of our featured novel, Johnny Got His Gun. He was injured by an artillery blast. It blew his face off. It blew his legs off. It blew his arms off. So he can't walk. He can't talk. He certainly can't play guitar. And also he has difficulty communicating, and he's considering committing suicide. I would, too, in that particular situation.
Yeah.
Yet, still, in his helpless condition, he is unable to complete the deed. Yeah, I was wondering, if you don't have arms or legs, how the heck are you going to commit suicide? I suppose he could try to roll off the bed and hope his head hits something hard, but they probably got the little rails up
rails,
on the bed
yeah.
and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's probably not possible for him to do himself in.
Well, over time, as time goes by, he finds a new purpose in life. A lot of times when people have tragedies happen to them like this, or they become disabled, or they lose limbs, it's very depressing for quite a while. And then over time, their natural ability to think positively, because most humans want to live, he finds a new purpose in life. You know, his life purpose is obviously changed. He can't do what he had maybe planned to do when he returned from the army because of his injuries. So he actually has a new purpose, and this is it. He wants to be placed inside a glass box and shown around the country, almost as if he's an art display, or, you know, when some artists want to have an exhibition, they'll travel around with some of their artwork, and it will be put up for people to see. Well, he wants to be put into a glass box and shown around the country. It's very interesting that this is his wish. In this manner, or this method, or way, he can be a living symbol of the horrors of war. He feels like if people can see what happens to some of these brave men and women who go into battle. Back then it was just men who went into battle. That they'll feel differently about going to war, that it won't be something that's seen as honorable and noble. It's something he hopes people will want to avoid.
Mm-hmm. And one day he gets an idea of how he can communicate with the outside world. Now, he's got this problem here. He has a communication problem. He can't speak and he can't hear. And he figures something out here. Joe begins banging his head on his pillow in Morse code. In this sentence, we have the verb phrase to bang on. Okay, that means you hit something with something. To bang on the drums, for example. Here he wants to bang his head on his pillow, but he's using Morse code, which is an old system of communication. You probably know what it is. I only know two letters in Morse code. That's SOS in Morse code. That's a series of dots and dashes that you use to communicate. That's how they used to communicate over the telegraph before they could actually communicate with telephones and stuff like that. So, yeah, he uses Morse code to communicate, and he bangs his head on his pillow using Morse code.
Yeah.
And eventually a nurse understands what he's doing. So she thought, what the heck is he doing banging his head on the pillow? But then she realizes, hey, there's some kind of pattern to it. He's hitting his head like three times there, or one short time and then a longer time.
Mm-hmm.
He must be trying to communicate. Hey, that might be Morse code.
Pretty smart nurse there. Well, eventually, he's able to actually communicate with somebody by doing this Morse code with his head on his pillow. Can you imagine? I bet he got a headache doing all that.
Hmm.
A nurse understands what he's doing, and she then goes and finds someone, a man, who comprehends Morse code. I think a lot of the people in the military have to learn Morse code. At least back then, it was a way to actually communicate that was done quite frequently. I think people in the CIA or spies, they're all trained in Morse code as well, because you can use it in different situations. This is one. If you comprehend something, guys, you understand it. I don't comprehend Japanese because I've never studied it. Tom's learning it. He's better at comprehending Japanese. But also, if somebody talks to you and tells you about an idea, you think it's really crazy. Wow, I don't comprehend what they're trying to do. So it's just not understanding something or understanding it.
Yeah, so it kind of reminds me of what's happening to Stephen Hawking here. He can't move his arms and legs or his mouth or his eye. I think he was using his eyelids or something, and now he can't do that anymore. So in this particular case, this guy at least can move his neck, so he can communicate using Morse code. And when he conveys his dream of being used as an example of the realities of war, he is told this would go against regulations. Regulations are rules and codes that you need to follow,
yeah.
Especially in the Army, regulations. It's against the regulations. It's against the rules. You can't do that. And earlier in this sentence, we have the word convey, which is a verb that just means to basically transport something from one place to another. In this particular case, he wants to take the information inside his head and put it inside the head of someone else, basically to communicate his dream. He wants to be an example or used as an example. He wants other people to see him in this state or this condition to remind them that, hey, war isn't all glory. It's not fun. War is hell.
Yeah, so the Army's never going to agree to his demands, and Joe realizes this. If you have demands, you have requests, and you're pretty strong in those requests. I have lots of demands that I want done immediately. Your boss probably has some demands that he wants done. You can also use demand as a verb. I demand you do that right now. Well, he realizes the Army's never going to agree to his demands, as men would no longer want to fight if they were to see the true cost of war. Yeah, I think seeing his particular body and the state he's in would really discourage a lot of people from fighting. Okay, guys, right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, but we'll be back.
我们最后看到第三段。 本段说明乔发现他人生的新目标就是把自己展现在大众面前，成为残酷战争血淋淋的例子。我们看到本段的第三句， In this manner, he can be a living symbol of the horrors of war. 借由这种方式，他可以成为活生生的象征，以彰显战争的恐怖。 其中的 manner 在这里是方法、方式的意思。The way in which something is done or happens. 例如 The boss hoped his staff would proceed in a very careful manner when working on the important project. 老板希望他的员工在处理这份重要专案的时候能用极为小心谨慎的方式进行。Manner 还有一些常见字义，举例如下，当作礼貌和规矩的意思的时候，我们可以说 It's a sign of bad manners to speak with your mouth full of food. 当你满口食物讲话的时候，会是一种不礼貌的象征。Manner 还可以当作风俗习惯的意思，例如 Manners have changed over the years and are less formal nowadays. 风俗习惯这些年来有所改变，如今变得越来越不正式。最后我们看到本段的最后一句， Joe realizes that the army would never agree to his demands, as men would no longer want to fight if they were to see the true cost of war. 乔了解到军方绝对不可能会同意他的要求，因为如果人们得以看见战争的真正代价，再也不会有男人想要去打仗了。本句中的 would 和 if were to 是用来表示与未来可能会发生的事实相反的假设语气，其句型为 if 加主词加 were to 原形动词，主词加过去助动词，包含 would, might, could, should 加上原形动词。例如 If the sun were to rise from the west tomorrow, I would lend you some money.如果太阳明天从西方升起，我就会借你钱。意思就是指太阳不可能从西方升起，我不会借你钱的意思。所以课文的意思是，如果人们得以看见战争的真正代价，再也不会有男人想要去打仗。这件事在未来是不可能发生的，因为军方不允许。以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Thank you for joining us, but we're going to continue talking about Johnny Got His Gun in the next program. We'll talk about the author of this book then, so please tune in to our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.